Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast, the podcast that is dedicated towards bridging the divide between the police and the communities that they serve. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for downloading the episodes. Thank you for liking, subscribing, and for sharing these episodes. Remember that the episodes and the podcast can be supported through PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. Also, you can go on over to the Patreon page. Go to Captain Hunter's Podcast, and remember that you can support the podcast through that platform as well. For just a few dollars a month or a dollar an episode or whatever you choose to give, you can help support the podcast and keep it growing and keep it going. So thank you in advance for your love and for your support. Thank you so much. So this is the midweek encouragement session that we're doing, right? This midweek life coaching that we're giving, just a little bit of thoughts of encouragement. And so that's the purpose for this. So this episode will not air during the midweek. Forgive me for that. But, it's better to be too busy throughout the week than not busy enough, right? But nevertheless, because it is a podcast, you can download and listen to this at any time. So there you go. That's one of the benefits of this modern day era that we're living in. So I wanted to ask a simple question. And that question is, how do you see yourself? Right? How do you see yourself? It is important to have positive self-talk. So many times you and I have run into people who do not have positive self-talk that goes on within their own minds or how they view themselves. I had a conversation with a young lady before. She was of mixed race, whatever that would mean, right? If there's any really such thing as race, we can get into that discussion at another time. But she was telling me that she's half black and half Puerto Rican, and then she said that she was a mutt. What does that mean? And what does that say about your own self-esteem? My aunt and my grandmother, obviously my aunt got it from my grandmother, that if you don't believe in yourself, then no one else will believe in you either. I want to pose that question, that answer, that line of thinking and thought process to you. If you don't believe in yourself, who else will? And so what do you think about yourself? Ask yourself that. I had another conversation with another friend of mine who happens to listen to the podcast, so you know who you are. She was telling me to come up with three positive things about yourself, right? To think positively about yourself. And that is important to do on a daily basis, or at least on a weekly basis. And not only think about that, but to write them down, to, you know, put them on your refrigerator, put them in your car, put it on your steering wheel, have it on your phone, right? We all have all these different screensavers, right? And so it's very important to have all that kind of stuff. We all tune into or turn to Facebook, and we see these different memes that people put out that are very positive in nature. But it's very important to internalize them for yourself, to internalize them for yourself. So forget thinking that you're too whatever, right? I've talked about this before, right? I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm too ugly, I'm too whatever. It's important to have positive self-talk and to concentrate on those areas of your life that are positive, that are your strong points, right? So concentrate on those things. Find out those three things, write them down, and believe in yourself, right? I think that that's so important. So I really wanted to ask you how you see yourself and what you're doing to change those images, right? What are you doing about yourself? Believe in yourself. Believe that you can achieve these things. Oftentimes, we think about the military. We understand that going to the military, they put people through obstacle courses. And that obstacle course is, yes, to get people into physical shape. But it is also to give you a sense that you can achieve what you need to achieve in life. That you have the ability within yourself, deep down, once we break you down, as one military chant, I like to listen to military chants a lot of times when I'm working out. And the military chant goes something like, the first phase, they broke me down. The second phase, I started to come around. Third phase, I was lean and mean. The fourth phase, I stood tall in my greens, right? That's from the military chant of the U.S. Marine Corps, or one of the chants that they sing while they're singing. So the first phase, they broke me down. When I first got to boot camp, they broke me down, right? Told me I was nothing, told me I couldn't do anything. Second phase, I start to come around. Now they start to build me up, right? I can go longer in these obstacle courses. The run that we're doing just a little bit easier, right? The push-ups are just a little bit easier. Third phase, I was lean and mean, right? My body's coming together. Everything's working right. I'm believing in myself. I'm getting the education that I mean. And the fourth phase, when it comes to that graduation point, I can stand up tall, stick my chest out, hold my head high, because I had passed the same obstacle course that every single other Marine passed before me. And I have passed every single one that everyone around me has achieved. So I can do these things. These things are deep down inside. When I first got here to boot camp, and I would say the same thing about the police force or any other place that you've been to, whether it's a college graduation or whatever, when you first get there, it seems like a daunting task, right? The buildings are so tall. The people are so big. These officers are so regal, right? These professors are so smart. And then you start to pass these tests, whether it's physical tests or whether it's written tests, whether you're going to college or whatever, and you start to realize that you can do the same thing. There's nothing so special about anyone else that you can't do it if you put your nose to the grind and begin to bang it out. So I want you to really, really think about what that chance that the Marine Corps has. Think about your time in whatever platform or place that you're working at, that you've gone to school at, or whatever place that you're in. You have the abilities to do it, and you can do it. So what do you think about yourself? And believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. I think it's really, really important that we get this through our minds, right? And to believe in ourselves. I think that this is extremely important concerning many African Americans in particular, or any minority population. If you listen to my episode with Dr. Laurel Davis Delano, in which we talked about the importance of representation, those particular episodes dealt with the importance of representation concerning Native American persons who needed to see themselves in academia, who needed to see themselves on TV. African Americans have gone through the same thing, where our representation and how we saw ourselves for so many years, right, being made fun of in cartoons and caricatures and TVs only being represented as mammies and things like that. So it really became very, very important that we see ourselves in this day and in this time in 2020, that we see ourselves in positive representations. I know that's not only for African Americans, it's for Puerto Ricans, it's for Native Americans, and yes, it is also for white people. It's important that you see yourself in politics, in the news media, projecting the news, as experts, analysis, in sports, every single genre that we have, we should be able to see ourselves. This idea is so important that there were groups of people that were committed to making sure that the images of African Americans stayed a negative image, right? I had not planned on this, but we're going to learn two different lessons in African American history. This is from The Atlantic, the Mammy Washington almost had. In 1923, the U.S. Senate approved a new document in D.C. in memory of the faithful slave mammies of the South. This is absolutely ridiculous. If I say the word mammy, you're likely to conjure up the character of Gone with the Wind, or you may think of Aunt Jemima and her trademark kerchief beaming from boxes of pancake mix. What you probably won't picture is a massive slave woman, hewn from stone, cradling a white child atop a plinth in the nation's capital. Yet, in 1923, the U.S. Senate authorized such a statue in memory of the faithful slave mammies of the South. As a Southern congressman stated in support of the monument, the traveler, as he passes by, will recall the epoch of Southern civilization, when fidelity and loyalty prevailed. No class of any race of people held in bondage could be found anywhere who lived more free from care or distress. Right, so this is back in 1923. What this article goes on to state is that these Southern racist senators and politicians wanted to emblazon in the minds of persons the Southern fat black mammy as a cultural icon of their heyday of their Southern racist ways. This is what they wanted people to think of when they thought of black people. This is what they thought of black people, and they wanted it to be in perpetuity. Think about this, right? By 1923, Jim Crow laws, rampant lynching, and economic peonage had effectively re-enslaved blacks in the South. Blacks who migrated north during World War I were greeted by the worst race riots in the nation's history, right? So if you were leaving the South because of the lynchings and all this kind of crazy stuff, peonage and being taken advantage of, you went to the North and there were race riots, right? When Malcolm X said, "Stop talking about the South. As long as you're south of the Canadian border, you're in the South," this is exactly what he was talking about. the North was just as racist in places like Cincinnati and New York and Boston and Seattle as the South. In the capital, Virginia-born president Woodrow Wilson had recently segregated federal facilities and screened Birth of a Nation at the White House. The overtly racist movie exalts the Klan, which peaked at 2 million members in the 1920s and won control of mayor's offices and state legislatures across the land. So what I wanted to talk about is just essentially, how do you see yourself, right? And they wanted to bring this to our minds and bring this to our attention. And they wanted to have this emblazoned in our minds and have it emblazoned in our attention in perpetuity, right? Going on for today. So we have to fight against this. And I'm asking you to do that not only as African-Americans, but no matter what you think about yourself, always keep in mind that you are great, that you're positive, that you can do it. So I hope that that resonates with some people, that it's very important to have positive self-talk. So write these things down, go over them, and have this kind of thinking on your mind at all times. And so as we transition to my next point for a few moments here, I really wanted to keep on with the same line of thinking and same line of reasonings and talk about just a little bit of my heritage growing up and why I think it's so important and why I developed this topic to talk about for today. And let me ask you again what you think about yourself. And that a lot of times has to do with your heritage, your lineage, and what you were told about yourself as we were growing up, as you were growing up. So let me ask you, do you know who Anne Frank is? If you grew up in a church, particularly a Black Pentecostal church, let me ask you if you know who Daniel is from the Bible, Daniel in the lion's den. Do you know who Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are? How about the 12 Hebrew boys, right? Can you name the 12 Hebrew boys? Can you name the 12 tribes of Israel? Where I'm going with this is important because African Americans, particularly those who grew up in church, are very much in tune with the cultural history, the mythology and legends of other persons, right? We know who Anne Frank is. We know who the 12 Hebrew boys are. We know about a lot of different histories and cultures, and we can probably name off some Greek philosophers, Plato and Aristotle and all these different types of persons. And we also know that much of our history has been destroyed, and I highly recommend people go out and read Chancellor Williams' book, The Destruction of Black Civilization, so we can understand a little bit more about our history. If I were to ask you if you know these persons, Addie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wesley, Carol Robertson, Carol Denise McNair, do you know who those persons are? Addie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wesley, Carol Robertson, Carol Denise McNair, who knows who they are? Well, if you said that those were the four young girls who were killed in 1963 in the 16th Street Baptist Street bombing in Birmingham, Alabama, then you're right. It's important for all persons to know their history and to know their lineage. If you don't know where you came from, then you can't know where you are today, and you certainly won't know where you're going tomorrow. On September 15, 1963, a bomb explodes during a Sunday morning service at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. It killed the four young girls, all of them were 14, except for Carol Denise McNair, who was 11. With its large African-American congregation, the 16th Street Baptist Church served as the meeting place for civil rights leaders like MLK Jr., who once called Birmingham a symbol of hardcore resistance of integration. Alabama's Governor George Wallace made preserving racial segregation one of the central goals of his administration, and Birmingham had been one of the most violent and lawless chapters for the Klan. The church bombing was the third in Birmingham in 11 days. I want to read that again. The church bombing was the third in Birmingham in 11 days after the federal order came down to integrate Alabama's school system. So a federal order came down to integrate the school system, and within 11 days, three bombings go off. And of course, this one was the most deadly. 15 sticks of dynamite were planted in the church basement. Underneath what turned out to be the girls' restroom. The bomb detonated at 10:19 a.m., killing Cynthia Wesley, Carol Robertson, Addie Mae Collins, all of them 14, and 11-year-old Denise McNair. Immediately after the blast, church members wandered dazed and bloodied, covered with white powder and broken stained glass, before starting to dig in the rubble to search for survivors. More than 20 other members of the congregation were injured in the blast. when thousands of angry black protesters assembled at the crime scene. Wallace sent hundreds of police and state troopers to the area to break up the crowd. Two young black men were killed that night, one by a police officer and another by racist thugs. Meanwhile, public outrage over the bombing continued to grow, drawing international attention to Birmingham. At the funeral for the three girls, King addressed more than 8,000 mourners. The fourth girl, their parents wanted them to have a private ceremony. A well-known Klan member, Robert Chambliss, was charged with murder and buying 122 sticks of dynamite. In October 1963, Chambers was cleared of murder charge and received a six-month jail sentence with a fine of $100 for the dynamite. Although a subsequent FBI investigation identified three other men, Bobby Frank Cherry, Herman Cash, and Thomas E. Blanton, Jr., as having helped Chambliss commit the crime, it was later revealed that FBI Chairman J. Edgar Hoover blocked their prosecution and shut down the investigation without filing charges in 1968. After Alabama Attorney General Bill Bakesley reopened the case, Chambliss was convicted in 1977 and sentenced to life in prison. Efforts to prosecute the three other men believed responsible for the bombing continued for decades. Though Cash died in 1994, Cherry and Blanton were arrested and charged with four counts of murder in 2000. Blanton was convicted and sentenced to life in prison. Cherry's trial was delayed after judges ruled he was mentally incompetent to stand trial. This decision was later reversed. On May 22, 2002, Cherry was convicted and sentenced to life, bringing a long-awaited victory to the family and to the friends of the four young victims. I have read from history.com. So don't just be familiar in this Black History Month with the accomplishments of other persons, history, legends, and mythologies. Be comfortable in who you are, what you are, where you came from, and so therefore you can help to establish where you are today and where you're going to be going tomorrow. I hope that resonates. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, much love and peace.